Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which we referred to last time as the spoken word of God. He said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. Now, I want you to notice two words there. He says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And in verse 18, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice that because I'm going to pass a comment on it. In fact, I may as well pass a comment now. You see, before I was taught and I so believed that to pray in the Spirit means to pray in other tongues. Now, praying in other tongues, indeed, Paul said, when I pray with an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So I believe that praying in other tongues is prayer in the Spirit. Because you see, in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is helping us with, well, I would say, when because of our infirmities, when we do not know how to pray as we ought. So it helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I believe that a lot of special kinds of prayers are in the Spirit. But what Paul was saying here is not that pray at all times in other tongues. That's not what he was saying. There is a kind of prayer that is out of the agreement with the Spirit of God. Do you understand my point? Jesus said something. He said, well, if you go and read his account when he met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said, they that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. He wasn't saying that they will be worshiping God by speaking in other tongues. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Therefore, praying in the Spirit, it's in agreement with what Jesus was saying also, that there is a way where you do something and it is said to be in the Spirit. I want us to get that very clear. So when he was saying here that pray at all times in the Spirit, it does not mean pray at all times in other tongues. I am not at all trying to say praying in other tongues is not important. Like Paul will say, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And I'm not saying that now. But then, I'm saying that when Paul said that, when he was trying to put some order, some people felt that, Paul was trying to tell us that speaking in other tongues is not correct. But he said, no, I thank my God that I do this thing more than, in fact, those of you think that I'm against it. It's just that I need to put some order in place. In the same manner, I am saying this afternoon, or is this evening? Evening. Okay, it's just past 5 o'clock, whichever. Anyway, I'm saying at this time, okay, that is not what Paul is saying here when he said that pray in the Spirit. Because if you see, there is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's spoken in intelligent language. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, what I understand is this. If a woman learns how to pray properly in agreement with the word of God, what he is doing is that he's praying in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, it's when you are able to look into the spiritual realm and say things that are in agreement with God's purpose and with God's plan, then you say that person is praying in the Spirit. Now, we're not going to talk in details about that now, but I just want us to get it clear because, you see, sometimes, you know, someone was asking me in church a few days ago about a particular practice. He said, where did this start from? He brought out his Bible that I should show him where it is in the scriptures. Something like that. And I told him that, well, that the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. That is, men are inherently like sheep. Now, sheep is not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just a character of, it's just
A feature, yes. Sheepishness, you even know what I'm saying. It's just like human beings. It's just good to make sure that you are sheepishly following the good thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because Jesus called his people what? His sheep. My sheep knows my voice. That's what he says. So it's good to be sheep, but just ensure that you are being sheeply in a good place. What I'm trying to say is that human beings tend to follow what some people are doing. And then people perpetrate an act, not even knowing where it started from. And some of those people will defend it with all their heart, with all their life, with their life, because this is the way it is done. They don't even know why it's been done like that. I'm just saying this, that in the body of Christ also, because of certain doctrines that were taught at a time, which I am not saying is inaccurate. Let me say it again. But you have to, I was listening to a man of God during the week, and he said something that he knows that a lot of the things he used to believe then are not wrong. It's just that they are incomplete. Do you understand my point? That is, there is always extra knowledge. You know, today I was talking with my wife, and I was just trying to tell her something that, you see, in the body of Christ, I know I'm digressing a bit, but it's okay, I'll get back to where I started from. That we tend to get carried away all the time. And Ken Hagin said this long ago, that it appears like the major problem with people is to stay balanced. You know, the example I want to give now is that, you see, those days when I was a very young Christian, I remember when I was in secondary school, both young as a Christian and young as a human being, I was very young then. The people who taught us the Bible in school said that to wear lace was a sin, and it was against the will of God because it had holes in it. And I remember then I had these two lace materials that my parents made for me. I did not know what to do with it. I was in boarding house, and it was not with me in school. I felt that when I go home, what shall I do with this lace? Now, I don't know what I ended up doing. Of course, I was a small boy. If I carry the lace, when my mother catch, if she caught me, there was nothing I could do with the lace. It was not my own. It was my parents' own. They just happened to have given it to me. You understand my point? Aha. But you see, as I grew up and I got to campus, they began to say, righteousness is not outward. And that, again, that is true. And then people felt that how you dress really doesn't matter. And I was lamenting with my wife this morning. I said, I have to talk to my pastor. He has to start speaking that women should please stop dressing like harlots when they come to church. Now, it doesn't move me. I'm not excited by them. You understand my point? You know, but it grieves my heart because we have forgotten that, you see, certain things are in the world because of corruption, not because they are normal. Do you understand my point? And then we have come to imbibe. Just walk on the road. Just walk on the road. Every woman walking thinks that she must show you the perfect shape of her buttocks. I don't know why. It wasn't always like this. As a young man, it wasn't like that when I was growing up. But suddenly there's a fad in town. That's the way it's going. Then Christians carry it and do exactly the same thing. I am not saying righteousness is in the length of your skirts. I am not saying righteousness is in how loose or how tight your clothes are. But I am saying that there's what the Bible calls the attire of a harlot. That is, when you see a harlot, you identify her by what she's wearing. Do you get my point? And it is not righteous to accept that same culture and say it does not matter. I am not saying that is righteousness, but I'm saying that some things are just not appropriate. Don't let me get carried away. I'll talk about that at another time, all right? Let me caution myself and come back home. Now, I'm trying to say that what happens is that... Kechi, you're welcome. God bless you. All right, I'm trying to say that what happens is that Christians forget to maintain a balance. Yes, you do not have to look like you are mourning all the time to show that you are godly. I agree with that. Absolutely. In fact, I think it is ungodly not to wear jewelry. That is my personal opinion. And I can prove it to you from the scriptures. God made gold. The only function gold has, all right, that I know is that of beautification. The only time people use gold now is because gold is a very, I know some science, all right, gold is a very good conductor of electricity. So when you have to make very small conductors, the best material to use is gold. But it's very expensive, of course. So you use it in very small quantities. That is how they join the processor in a computer to the circuit of the rest of the computer. Because you want something that can conduct very well. So you use very tiny amounts of gold. What I'm trying to say is that God filled the earth with gold. What for? Go and see when he was describing the temple. Now, I'm trying to say, you know, I was making a joke. Somebody in church, one pastor beside me in church on last Sunday. A sister got up, you know, walked in front of us. I whispered to him. I said, this lady always looks like the Temple of Solomon. And the guy had a very good laugh. Don't mind me. I say things like that sometimes. Now, I am saying that, anyway, I'm just using that one to say that I know that righteousness is not in the outward, all right? But outward things always agree eventually with what is inside. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So what we need as Christians is to be able to maintain a balance. I was talking to myself during the week again while meditating along this line. In fact, today, earlier on today, I said, you see, before you condemn a practice, please, I beg of you in the name of the Lord, always check the origin and check what the person who started it had in mind. Because sometimes these things come with the sincerity of heart, and a man is walking with God, except that all we like sheep follow him without thinking. And what he meant as a matter of improving walk with God becomes a matter of religion. And men begin to condemn or to judge people based on how much they practice certain things. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? All right. So, you know, I was thinking to myself that if you see the things that go on in deeper life, all right? Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad, all right? I'm just wondering, you know, there's a way people in deeper life dress. If you don't dress like that, you are... Sorry for the sisters, they always are the receiving end. Whether you are in House on the Rock or in deeper life, a suit is a suit for guys. Suit na suit, you know? They will not criticize you for wearing a Giorgio Armani suit. Suit is suit. Uh-huh. But it's ladies that have to be fighting over whether something is long or short and all that. But I'm saying that the head of deeper life must have had his reason while he put some things in place in that congregation. I may not agree with all the practices, but it is good to listen to his reason, and you will be surprised that you will be blessed by it. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That is why I have made up my mind in this life, no matter what people say about your practices, I want to hear where you started from and why. Sometimes some good things degenerate, and what we find and we criticize are the degenerate forms of those things. Sometimes it is good to look back at the beginning and find out where they started from. And we'll find out eventually we'll build the better for it. God will be able to reach out to us. Because I know in this life, everybody has a message. You know, there was a time I traveled and I saw a man's book on display. I had heard the man's name, quite a big book, so I stretched out to buy it. He's not a very popular preacher, at least amongst my clique of friends. So the guy who I went to preach for then, the pastor of the church, he said, why are you so interested in this man's book? But apparently he doesn't find, although it was his church and it was their book stand. But he was just curious, why did I pick the guy's book? I told him, look, everybody, especially a man that has a voice in the body of Christ, has a message. I said, I have not yet contacted my portion of this guy's ministry. So I will buy the book just to receive my portion. Because there is something we have that nobody else will have. You understand? In a place like Nigeria, don't be surprised that there is something unique about his ministry. That if you don't reach out to him and collect it, you will not find it elsewhere. And your life will never reach the peak that God wants it to reach. In the same manner, I am not a fan of deeper life, but I have made up my mind. I shall take time out, go and seek out about 20 or 40 tips of W.F. Kumi. Sit down and eat all of them from beginning to end. Even endure when he's saying things I don't agree with. At the end of the day, I will receive my portion of his spirit. You see, there is what the Bible calls the spirit of men. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. As I am speaking to you every weekend here, there is something that God has dropped in me as a ministry that you are contacting. You may not be able to describe it in words. Do you get my point? I remember those days I used to say, if I'm in a vehicle and somebody talks, I will tell you are from Winner's Chapel. That there is something about Bishop Oyedepo that everybody that runs around him contacts it. There is this aggressive boldness that they eat up. When a winner's person, forget his height or the stature of his person, once he speaks, you know this guy is from Winner's Chapel. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? If you go to different places, that's the way it is. It's just that, you know, I have found out that the major problem we have in the body of Christ is this one of segregating each other. Look, that is why I announce all the time, this is not a church, because I know that God's perfect plan is that there is a ministry each person has, and every person in the body of Christ has a right to tap their portion. It is wrong for me to build a wall around the one that God has given to me and say, if you are not part of us, you are against us. I have read ministry constitution before, and I said these people don't understand anything about ministry. They write things as clear as if you are part of this ministry, you cannot be part of another one. I said, why? Why? Are you Jesus Christ? Are you dying for another set of people? It is not right to make such statements. People have a right to come. Maybe after some time, you've listened to me again and again and again for maybe about 50 different sessions. At a point in time, you feel I'm not getting anything from this guy any further. It does not mean that I'm backsliding. It does not mean that I don't have anything new to say. It is possible that God said, look, I'm building you up for something. And you have heard enough from this fellow for now. I want you to leave here and go and listen to this other guy. Because there is something I have placed in that guy that this guy does not have. And if you sit here all the days of your life, you will find that your life will not be balanced. Let me tell you what, if you come to my library, you find all kinds of people. There are yuppie preachers there. There are old-time, conservative, quiet, preachers that can't even speak loud there. I listen to everybody. As long as I am sure that you are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. So it's important that as Christians we learn to balance. I know where I started from, okay? I just felt that it's good to just emphasize that to children of God. Balance, Ed Cole says, is a key to life. You have to know balance. So you see, let me now come back to what I was saying. I was talking about praying in the Spirit. So I'm saying that I made that statement so that we will understand that though it was said at the time that praying in the Spirit means praying in other tongues, it is not exactly accurate, but it is not wrong. You understand my point? It is just incomplete. That's the point I'm trying to make. You can pray in the Spirit and not speak a word in other tongues. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Okay, so let's just get back to what I was saying. So we're reading from Ephesians chapter 6 and saying that part of what, or let me say, the application of the full armor of God, Paul added to it, praying at all times, he said, with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. Now, it is important we understand that in the Spirit is in agreement with what he said. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You understand my point? It does not mean that I'm only wielding that sword if I'm speaking in other tongues. It is the word of God, and I can say it in the language that I understand. Do you follow what I'm trying to say there? Okay, now, that's just the first scripture I wanted us to read before we go on to what we have to say today. Another scripture I would like to read, maybe, let's just read Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, I'll read verses 6 and 7. He said, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. He said, you who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Listen to that. He said, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. What is their job? They will observe the things that are happening. And if the things that they are seeing are not in agreement with God's plan for Jerusalem, they will remind the Lord. And they would not take any rest until they have seen that God has established Jerusalem as a praise in the earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, they are watchmen. They are observing things. Let me tell you something about prayer. I'm not claiming to know everything about it, but I know that a lot of the things that are practiced in the body of Christ, at least around that I have seen, are extremely inaccurate. Let me explain. I have been to churches before, and then, in fact, there are times people say, okay, pray this prayer point. And I look at the prayer, I feel like calling the guy down from the pulpit. That does that thing make any meaning to you? You that's speaking. No, honestly. You say, I want you to pray right now. That as this meeting is going on, that we will never be the same. I say, come, my friend. What is the problem with what you are right now? And can you identify the problem and where you want to get to? Just stop. That's what the Bible calls empty babblings. You understand? You're just talking and your talk has no meaning. I am usually very reluctant to attend a lot of prayer meetings. Not because I do not want to pray with the people, but you see, sometimes you get it, and of course, you know what people hide behind? They start speaking in what they call tongues. It just because, really, what the guy who told you to pray is saying makes no meaning to him or to you. And both of you agree to deceive yourselves and stay there and be claiming you are talking it. No, honestly, I'm one person, look, I was in one church once, And the man said, plead the blood of Jesus. I said, in my mind, over what? That the word you will hear today, that no devil will take it away from you. I said, let me see the devil that will come and take it away. So I was looking at the man. So the lady beside me said, when they finished, she called me. That she noticed that when you were bringing prayer points, everybody was firing and I was not responding. I felt like telling her, to what? What that guy was saying, does it make meaning to you? I said, the Bible said that the ones that the birds of the air took away were those who heard and did not understand. How do you get understanding? He said, give attention that you may gain understanding. I felt like telling the woman, I have left my job. I do not have a car. Let me tell you how inconvenient it is for me to get to this place. I take 3 buses to get here. I leave my house early in the morning, 6, I'm out of the house. I will not get back till 10 p.m. You think I came here to play? Let me see the devil that is big enough to take the word from me. So when the man was saying, I said, over what? Read the whole of the scripture. All this one shout, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Read the whole of the scripture. Where did you ever see anybody praying and he's shouting the blood of Jesus? I'm not saying it is evil. I just don't do it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You want to tell me? Yes, the Bible said there is what the blood speaks that is better than the one that the blood of Abel is speaking. The blood speaks something. It is when you speak in agreement with the blood that you're overcoming by the blood. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is why everybody in town shouts, Holy Ghost, fire. You and I know the Holy Ghost is not even hearing the fire. Nor is he responding. It is not the words. I have a teaching, what I call the weight of words. When you utter something, there should be a weight behind it that is backing the words that you are speaking. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are not of the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. But they are spirit and they are life. That is, there is a spiritually tangible substance that they carry. And when they get to the place where they are received to the person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm saying something here. That we are reading that the Bible said that there are watchmen who watch for specific things. And when it is not in agreement with what God is saying he will do, then they will remind the Lord of what he has planned to do. Do you follow my point? Watchmen, that is why God used the word watchmen. That is, we are watching. Like Elijah told his servant, go to that end and watch for me. I will stay here and pray. And he bent down, put his head down, and began to pray. He asked the boy, do you see anything? The guy said, nothing. He said, good. It is not yet in agreement with what God will do, because I cursed this land with famine because they were not serving the true God. But today we have eradicated the service of the false God from the land. Therefore, rain should return. Are you getting my point? So he began to tell the guy, watch. Elijah kept praying. Are you seeing anything? He said, yes, I see something like a cloud, just very small actually. Looks like the size of a man's fist. He said, that is okay. That is all I need to know. I know things are about to happen. So he told the king, come on, hurry up. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. The prayer stopped. Are you getting my point? If it's our prayer of faith, you know what we say? The guy prayed more than once. It is in unbelief. You know, that's what we preach. Again, I'm not saying totally wrong. I'm just saying it's incomplete. Because that same Elijah was the example of a righteous man who prayed a prayer of faith. Thank you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So I'm explaining that the Bible said, I have set watchmen on your walls. The word is watchmen. They are looking out for something. And you see, I will talk something about prayer today. All right? And I'm just going to explain this, some of the scriptures that we are reading. Again, open to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm not started preaching. I just want to read some scriptures and then we will start talking. From verse 37. It said, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Now, I want you to notice something there. Why didn't he just do it? I don't know. But he said, this is what I want to do. Let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer means that, how do I say this now? Let me go back a few steps and then I'll come to what the definition I want to say. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to what? The sons of men. I want you to understand, like I've explained in the past, nobody has authority on this earth but the people that live therein. Are you hearing me? You see, sometimes we read one scripture and we misunderstand the whole picture because we only touch one side of the multi-faces, the many faces of the, let me say, of the complex structure of life. You know, God says something. Now let me say one of the example mistakes we make. We said that when Adam sinned, I still heard it in the message I was listening to a few days ago, that he handed over the dominion over the earth to the devil. And I'd say, no, he didn't. And I have my reasons. But I've thought about that in the past. I know that Adam, for his own life, maybe he handed it over to the devil. But every person that came into life had the choice to sin or not to sin. And the Bible tells on Romans chapter 5, it said, sin entered the world through one man, the earth, and then death came as a result of that sin. It said, but death passed to all men because all men sinned. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That it is not automatic. What happens is that everybody has to connect with the cause of Adam. You know, I've explained to us about the law of the pioneer. It is just that once one person steps into something, it becomes easy for everybody that is coming after him. Now, I'm trying to say something. Don't let me digress too much into that. Let me get back to my point. That on this earth, the authority still belongs to a man. That is why God does not discuss with the devil when he wants to do things. Rather, he discusses with men. He said, I looked for a man I did not find. Do you understand what I'm going to say? He said, I saw that there was no man. Therefore, my own hand brought salvation unto me. That is, every time God is looking, what is he looking for? Men. Are you getting my point? And he said, if you read Amos chapter 3, he's explained that the Lord God cannot do anything except he first discusses with his servants, the prophets. Let me explain to you what that means. That means that when God wants to come into the earth, one thing he looks for is somebody through whom he will come. He doesn't just appear. The reason being that he gave dominion over the earth to men and it still remains with man. I want you to understand that it does not belong to any devil. Because if he did, God wouldn't be discussing with men. He will first discuss with the devil that, can I come into the earth? And he doesn't do that. I hope you are following the point I'm trying to make. I hope you are following that point. All right? We can't discuss everything in details because that's not the main thrust of our thing. I just want to explain something to us. Therefore, before God does anything on the earth, the first thing he does is to talk to somebody. And having talked to somebody, the person will agree and give God his authority on the earth. And then God will come through that person and begin to manifest. Like I said before, all God is looking for, therefore, is for somebody to cooperate with him. That is all. He is not looking for what? Anything more. Just somebody who will cooperate with him. When he was going to choose David as a replacement for Saul, all he said is that I have found a man after my own heart who will do all my desires. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That for God to move on the earth, he needs a man. Now, another thing I want you to bear in mind is that you exercise your authority through words and then through your actions, two ways. One, through the things you do or refuse to do, and through the things that you say. So what God does is this. When he wanted to do judgment in Israel, again he went and spoke to a man called Ezekiel. Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah. Yeah. Jeremiah said, I am too young for this thing that you are sending me to do. And God said, age is not relevant. What is relevant is that you say just the things I want you to say. I hope you are following my point. That is, what I want, what I need are the words that you will speak. So whenever I say something, just go out there and repeat exactly what I have said. And if you do that, you will see my power manifested. Are you following me? I'm trying to say something. That for God to do something on the earth, therefore, there are two things. First, he wills to do something. And two, somebody agrees with him to do that thing. So if somebody on earth decides he's going to do what he wants to do, that is, a man just says, okay, right now, I have decided that I don't like the situation of Enugu. I want it to be situated at the bottom of the valley. And he begins to pray. His prayer will not be of any effect because most likely God didn't propose it first. And he's always the leader you follow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you getting my point? That is why John said it like this in chapter 5. He said, that's 1 John. He said, this is the confidence we have towards him, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? Therefore, now let's relate it back to the issue of the what's their name now? Watchmen. He's saying, therefore, that the watchmen look out and watch for what God wants to do. And if what they are seeing on the earth is not in agreement with it, then they begin to declare to God what he said that he would do. Let's come back to the issue of this man. What's his name? Daniel. That would be a very good example. Remember what Daniel prayed. He said, I, Daniel, discovered from the books, when he studied the books, if you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I was talking about a king, Darius the son of Ahasuerus. He said, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And he began to pray. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? That is, Daniel discovered what the Lord wanted to do and then began to give his voice in agreement to that thing that God wants to do. And that's why John said, when we pray in accordance with his will, he hears us. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say about prayer. So, now let me come back to the main thrust of what we have been saying all this while. We're talking about the inheritance. Paul said, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is, there is something. First thing, therefore, if you have to look like Daniel, is to discover from the written records of the Word of God what God wants to do in your life. And by the direct communication, when that applies to you, that is the Word of God, in agreement with that, you begin to declare. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, you do not just speak out of desire. You know, I said something, if you remember, we were speaking about faith. That hope is not a wish. And that the mistake we made in the world of faith movement, you know what they call movement, all right? Is that we say that hope is uncertain. And we even write things like the failure of the hoper. I said that is not in agreement with the scriptures. Because hope, the Bible says, does not make ashamed. In him, the Bible says, the Gentiles will hope. Do you understand what I'm saying? The difference is that the Englishman, when he says hope, he's saying that I wish I would have loved it to be. Peradventure it will become. I will be pleased with that outcome. Do you get my point? But no, in the scriptures, when he says hope, it means I have an expectation that is based on an evidence. So you go to Abraham. I have observed that you have begun to age. The man said, yeah. And have observed that your wife passed menopause something like 25 years ago. Say, I observed that also. Yet, you say, you will be the father of many nations. How do you know? The man says, I have an expectation. I had one before, just like you, when I was as blind as you were. I saw only what you were seeing now. And I told God, what do I get since I'm going childless? Then God said, and it gave me a word, which was another evidence. And based upon the word of God that has come to me, I have another evidence. And God said, you will not die childless, but indeed, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a child. He specified, it's even Sarah. So how do you know, therefore, that you'll be a father of many nations? Because God said so. So I have an expectation based upon an evidence. So it was qualified by Paul like this. Faith is the assurance of the expectation that I have. That is, I saw the word of God promising me something. Therefore, I am sure that that thing will come to pass. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, let me explain something again to us. God, like we said, gives to you. And then he said, you will get up and possess what he has given. Listen, when he was telling the children of Israel to go in and possess, he warned them about land they could not possess. Do you get my point? I keep on mixing the name of the... Is it the land of the Edomites, the descendants of Esau? He told them, I think it's the Edomites. He said, when you get to their land, buy water. Don't incite them to anger. He warned them. When you, before you pass, beg them. He said, because I will not as much as give you the place upon which you are standing in their land. I have given that one to them as an inheritance. That is, what God has not given you, you cannot possess. But the one he has given you, you will first get a description for the one that he has given you, and then you get up to go and possess it. I hope you follow what I'm trying to say. So what is important, therefore, is that we get to know the one he has given, and then we lend our voice in agreement to it in prayer. Every time we speak, as a watchman, I have observed that in my life. I still fall sick at the beginning of the rainy season. I said, that is not in agreement with the word of God. So, if rainy season is going to approach again, I stand up and declare, in the name of Jesus, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. For me to fall sick at the beginning of any season is not in agreement with the word of God. Therefore, I speak to my body, be well in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up that word back to you. And I ask that your power of divine health will rest upon this system. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Because I made a discovery that what I am seeing is not in agreement with what God wants to do. But the problem we have, I think we need to read something. Open with me your Bibles to, I think, Matthew chapter 14. It should be 14, yes. It's a portion of the scriptures that we have read again and again. And in fact, every child that studies Bible knowledge, or this, Christian religious knowledge, they call it, knows this story. It's the story of Jesus on the waters. He had multiplied food for 5,000 men with additional women and children, and he sent his disciples away to go to the other side. And after dispersing the multitude by himself, he went to the mountain to pray alone. Now, verse 24. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. It's important you note that word. That anytime Jesus gets into a boat, the wind will stop. Are you getting my point? The wind was harassing them because he saw that, Master is not around. All of you are in trouble today. he saw that the Master is not around. In fact, the last time he tried to harass them, you know, the wind first ensured that the Master was asleep. So, if the Master was awake, the wind wouldn't have tried it. The Master was asleep. That's why the wind decided to harass them. So today, the wind saw that the Master was not in the boat. He said, "Good, I've caught all of you." So, in fact, I have a feeling that it was the wind that drove them to that point. They didn't want to go so far away before. And then they, of course, they began to harass their life up and down. And the moment the master stepped back into the boat, you know, he didn't rebuke the wind this time around. What happened was the wind vanished by itself. Which means that in life, if we are being rocked to and fro and being tossed here and there by the circumstances of life, it is likely that Jesus is not riding in that boat. Do you get my point? There is a man, I read his story. I was in a meeting where he preached. He's a pastor now in Asaba. He said, when he was going to take a job in a newspaper, he told God that he knew he was going to ministry. So he told God he would stay there for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, he would leave. 2 years came. He said, why not? Let's just tarry here a while. 2 years and 1 month, he was still tarrying a while. 2 years and 2 months, he was still there. 3, 4, 5, 6 months. God said, it is enough. Small wind began to blow. Miriam Babangida came to Benin. Somebody took a photograph of Miriam Babangida and published it in the newspaper that he was the editor. And the board sat down and said, that photograph is not fine. Can you believe that? And they sacked him. It was embarrassing to the nation. You sacked an editor because he published what you claim is a bad photograph of the first lady. So the Nigerian Union of Journalists decided that this must be a joke. So they rushed to court. He went to court. Everybody went to court. Miriam Babangida made an open statement that, please, oh, I have no hand in the sacking of this man, just like Pilate. You know the interesting thing? The man stayed sacked. Listen, if God is not with you, Jioke Ajayi, coupled with Ganifa Oyemi, supported behind by Rotimi Williams, cannot get to a court ruling. If God is not with you, Chief of Army Staff, Inspector General of Police, all of them cannot enforce a court order if God is not with you. The man, after some time, he called himself to order and said, wait, what is the cause of all this boat that has been rocked to and fro? It's because Jesus is not in it. He walked out himself, went and took a job in Winners Chapel as director of the publishing of the Bible school. From there, he now moved and came and found a ministry that's doing very well in Asaba now. What I'm saying is that when you find a boat that's been rocked to and fro, you rebuke and cast out devils. And any devil that doesn't go out easily, just check whether Jesus is in that boat. Because the devil will look around and say, can't you see there's only me and you? Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Anytime Jesus steps into a boat, what happens? The wind will what? Cease. And I think it's important, therefore, that we ensure that whichever boat we are riding in, Jesus is in it. Now, but that is not our lesson for today. That was just by the way. All right? Our lesson is in the issue of Peter. Jesus spoke a word to Peter. The word was what? Come. And the Bible said that Peter began to walk on water as long as he was focusing on the thing that Jesus said. Then at a point in time, he took his eyes away and began to behold the wind. And while beholding the wind, what happened is that he began to fear. And fearing, he began to sink. Now, I want us to understand this. That every time God gives you a word, gives you a promise, there will always be reasons. You know, last time I explained this extensively. There will always be a reason why that word shouldn't come to pass. And usually, the voice of that reason is much louder than the voice of God. Do you get my point? The reason being that it will be speaking from every direction. When God says, go like this, let's assume that, okay, most of us know mathematics. There will be 300, in every circle, how many degrees do you have? 360. Now, God says, go like this. He's facing one direction. So you're on one line. Let's assume that one line is 1 degree. It means, therefore, that every other thing speaking is against what God is saying. And there will be 359 of them speaking. So anywhere you turn to, you hear a voice that is not the voice of God. And the moment you take your eye away, what you are seeing suddenly becomes very loud. When you return it back to where God is speaking, the voice of God will become loud to you. I hope you get my point. It is a decision you need to make that I want to follow God. You see, I want us to get this clear all the time. That if you will speak positively about your life, If you will speak positively about what God is going to do in your circumstance, on your environment, on your nation, because of you, it will not be because things are looking up. Are you getting my point? Remember last time we said, the words were framed how? By the word of God. That what you will see will be a consequence of the state of your heart and the thing that is coming out of it as a word. Do you follow me? You will not succeed because you study a particular course in the university and you got a good degree from it. No. You can come with first class or half class. It makes no difference. You know, I told a story once. One day when psychiatry ward in university, when I was doing my psychiatry posting, was on admission in the hospital, psychiatry ward. He had the first class, either in engineering or mathematics. He did a master's. I was already going to get the top grade also. Before his head went, before the head bifurcated, I don't know what happened to him. Was on admission in the hospital, psychiatry ward. He had the first class, either in engineering or mathematics. He did a master's. I was already going to get the top grade also. Before his head went, before the head bifurcated, I don't know what happened to him. Do you get my point? That is, the race is not to the swift. Neither is a battle to the strong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That the Bible says, let me tell you something about faith. Faith must explain every statement you make. That is what makes you a believer. I always say something, that a lot of people claim they are believers. Ask them, what do you believe? A lot of believers believe nothing. If we gather together and begin to speak about Nigeria, you will not be able to identify which one is a believer. Because what does he believe? He believes the report of this day. He believes the report of the Guardian. He believes the report of the radio. He believes every kind of report but the one that God has said. And he says he's a believer. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, if when you speak on mundane issues, if your faith does not rise up and speak, you don't have it. That was what James said when he was explaining that faith without works is dead. He didn't say when you have faith, you must look for words, for work to give it life. No. That when I see a faith that somebody is professing, but I cannot see the works that is backing that faith, then I know that he has a dead faith. It doesn't need to put works. You need to go and get the living faith. When the faith is alive, it speaks by itself. I hope you follow what I'm trying to say. That is, when a man says he believes, he says he's a believer, in his life, everything that's happening around him must show, the way he responds to things happening around him must show that he believes that what is happening is beyond that everybody else can see. One of my friends told me something long ago. There was an unfortunate incident in their house. One of their children died. So we talked with them. Of course, they were mature Christians, and I think about a year or two later, when we were speaking, the lady was telling me something. She said that somebody came to her around that time and said, "Komo, you know that your neighbor?" Say, "Yes." "You know that woman is very wicked. I am telling you, she's the one that used witchcraft to kill your child." She said she laughed and laughed and laughed and told her, "No witch can kill my child." Didn't see the woman tomorrow, say, "I won't greet you again." Or go and fight, say, "It is you." How on is that? What are you telling me? It is not possible for a witch to kill my child. I'm not claiming that I have an explanation for what happened, but I know it is not a witch. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, the way she responded to a situation showed what she believed. Is it devil in my house? It's like telling Job, "Come, oh, I know those that killed your children." What? It is that man that didn't like, he was the one. No, the man is a thick juju man. He stirred up the winds and he broke the house upon the children. Are you getting my point? If Job knew what we know about him now, if he knew it about himself, he would have said, "If the Lord did not remove the hedge around me, that man would have had no power." Just like Jesus spoke to Pilate. Pilate said, "Do you know I have the power to free you or to condemn you now?" He says, why are you jumping like a Boy Scout? If that power had not been given to you, you wouldn't have it. For your information, you have it because I laid down my life. And when I'm through, I take it up again. Now, I'm saying that you see his response based upon what he believes. And the Bible says that what you will see in your life will be a consequence of what you believe now. It will be a consequence of the words that you are speaking. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, if you are going to see a bright future or a different tomorrow in your environment or in your country, you have to start speaking in agreement as a watchman with what God wants to do. For example, he said, there are many things we can. Let's take Nigeria, for example. Jesus said it clearly, you are the salt of the earth. I hope you know the meaning of the word salt. It means that you are the one that's preserving the earth. You are the reason why this earth will not suffer destruction. Anywhere I find people like you, I have to stay back and watch what will happen. I can't just jump in and come and destroy. So if they have found 10 righteous men, according to the negotiation of the Lord and Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah will have been spared. And we will have called those 10 people what? The salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I know, based upon that principle, that I am living here, this land will be preserved. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? For that reason, I stand as a watchman before God, and every day I declare good about the country. Because you see, there was a gospel we preached and listened to and heard and believed some time ago, that darkness will be upon the peoples. But unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with willing in his wings. And I'm not saying it's wrong. He said, it means therefore that all the unbelievers around you will be in distress, but only you will be prospering. Somebody commented, my pastor in Lagos, he said, what the Bible says you have forgotten to quote about that is that he said, arise, shine, because your light has come, and Gentiles will come into your light. Not that you'll be shining and then you put a barricade around there. All of you are Gentiles. I am a child of God. Can't you see that the road, this is my compound, is starred? Then go from your house to the market. You enter the portals. That is, God said it like this. There is a limit to which I can bless you if the land you are in is not blessed. If I make you a billionaire in pure gold and I place you in the Sahara Desert, all you will buy is sand. So after making you rich, I have to bless the Sahara Desert so that you have something to buy with your money. The car you want to believe God as prosperity and drive is made by a man who's not born again. You had better pray for him for skill. Otherwise, your ABS won't work the day after you spend all the God-given money. What I'm saying therefore is this. There is a principle there. As long as God wants to bless me in this country, then I have no choice but to constantly prophesy good upon the nation because of what God is saying. To me, I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. That is, there is something that God wants to do. We describe as an inheritance. That is his plan. You have to take your voice in prayer. Every time you get up to speak, you must speak in accordance with what God has said. And if you don't speak it, what God has said will not come to pass during your lifetime. It will still come to pass. Let me tell you something. God's word will eventually come to pass. But you can suspend whether it will come to pass during your lifetime or activate its coming to pass during your lifetime. When they pronounce judgment on Nineveh, I've not really checked that, but I heard Nineveh was still destroyed. But those men at that time, they repented. So the judgment of Jonah was suspended. The children after them went back to the ways of their fathers. Then the judgment was downloaded. You know what I'm going to say? That was, click here for downloading the judgment. And they just clicked, bam, with iniquity. And that's it, judgment came. What I'm saying therefore is that if God wants to do something good in a place, and the people there don't want it to happen, what will happen is that if the thing that God wants to do will be suspended for a time, then when those who are ready to walk with God will arrive, then they will see a manifestation of what God wants to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is why Paul said, with all prayer and petition in the spirit. Doesn't mean you are speaking in other tongues. It means that you have decoded what God wants to do, and every time you are speaking in agreement with that thing. Do you know, for a long time, and even till now, I'm still wondering, what did Jesus used to pray about all night? I don't know why he didn't tell us. But we have an idea. You know how the kind of idea we have? His disciples came to him one day and said, "Master, teach us to pray, just like John the Baptist also taught his disciples to pray." Now, I think it's important we see the prayer they prayed. It was in Luke chapter 11 that they came to him, recorded. But let's read from Matthew chapter 6. It said, "Pray that," verse 9, "in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let me read that again. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's a reason why I read it like that. There are not two statements there. It is one word. As thy will is being done, there is a manifestation of thy kingdom. Notice what he said. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, last time I explained something to us. That when the Bible says something is kept in the heavens, it doesn't mean it's when you have died that you will find it too. It means it is kept in a place where it is not affected by world events, that is not affected by the weather, is not affected by thieves. Thieves can't break in and steal. So what Jesus is saying to us in effect is simple. According to what you have written concerning me, let it be done on earth. I mean, God wants to do it, right? But then he needs the words of a man, which is the authority that he has to step into his life. He saw the children of Israel in captivity, didn't he? He said, "I have remembered the covenant I had with their fathers." Did he forget before? But one thing he said, "I have heard their cries." That is, when they cried out to me, they activated the memory of the covenant I have with their fathers. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But the problem we have as Christians is that we do not do this of declaring every time that will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven, or as it is written in heaven. In fact, I think that is more appropriate. Because what did he say there? He said that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me just check something before I make this statement, because something just came to my mind now. And before I say it, let me just since I always read it as that will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. In fact, you heard me say it just now. But I think what he was saying is, "That will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven." Do you understand my point? He said, "You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That is, there is an inheritance that was written down, which became of effect after Jesus died. "That will be done according to what is written in that document." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But rather, what do we just say as children of God? You know, this country, we are there though. And people say that, and there is nothing for God to activate in their lives. Like somebody was telling me in my office, one of my residents was talking the other day. He said he doesn't play America Visa Lottery. I said, "Why?" He said, "Because if you win," he said, "temptation has begun." He said, "If you don't want to live there, don't play it." And you've heard me say it before. I agree with him totally. He said, because people will tell you that, "Go now." He said, "You say, I don't want to go." He said, "Okay, we know you don't want to go. What about your children?" Give them an opportunity for a bright future. That is, the opportunity for bright future for your children is tied to a geographical location. But I always declare, the passport my children need is their surname. It will open doors for them everywhere they go. The other day, one man came to preach in our church. In fact, he was in my car last night. He came to our church. I went to drop him at home. That was a privilege. He's a man of God, you know. Don Odunze. How many of you know Don Odunze? So this is his son, Don Odunze Jr. You may have seen him around or listened to his messages. He said one day he went to preach in one of these West African countries. So when he was coming back by road into Nigeria, he got to the border on the other side. So the guy looked at his documents. So the man looked at him, looked at the papers, and said, "You are not Don Odunze." Say, he smiled. He said, "Because I know Don Odunze." He said, the man smiled. He said, "Look in front. See that word JR there? It means the son of Don Odunze." Say, your father is Don Odunze. Correct. He said, he told him that many years ago, he was having serious problems with his wife. And his father, he attended a seminar where his father preached. And that solved his problems. He said the man carried his bag for him and led him through every other point till he crossed over to Nigeria. And when they were parted, he said, "Greet your father for me." That is, his father's name was a passport that opened the road for him. Do you get my point? How do I know that my name is all the passport that my children will need? Because he said his seed will be great upon the earth. That is, mark the righteous man. And it's me he was talking about. You know, he had me in mind when he was writing that scripture. No, I'm telling you the honest truth. He said, this is the word of God. You will not bear children for calamity. As long as my children are alive, no civil war will break forth again in this country. As long as they live here, because the word of God to me is that I will not bear children for calamity. I will not carry them, run, problem has come. No, it won't happen. And every day I see events that don't want to agree with that. I wake up again and say it, peace be upon this nation. Why did God command that people should declare peace upon Jerusalem? Is this watchman principle? Because as it says peace upon the nation, then peace is coming for. You know what he told Moses? He said, speak to Aaron. Tell him, this is how you will bless the children of Israel. You will say to them. You never read that before? You don't lay hands on them. You don't pour sacrifice upon them. You don't tell them to sow a seed for a major breakthrough. They don't need a seed for a major breakthrough. When you want to bless them, say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Say, may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He said, when you do that, you have invoked my name upon the children of Israel. There is a principle there. I said, if I become Nigerian president, I will move a motion in the house. They should add a line to it. National anthem, God bless Nigeria. It's important. Americans have it. Every major kingdom on earth that I remember always have a greeting for the king that prophesies goodness upon him. Read his Bible. O king, live long. They constantly prophesied good upon the king. Go to Benin till now, they do it. They still do it till now. Long live the queen. Americans put it in the anthem. God bless America. Are you getting the point I'm making? Come on, when you wake up in the morning, speak a word of blessing to your life. God bless me today. God bless my system, my body. In fact, there was a scripture I was reading. And you know, as I was reading it, somebody was quoting it actually. And I was following. Then I got an understanding. That Paul said, though our outward man decays day by day, yet our inward man is renewed every day. But I think that's not a correct reading of it. He was saying that though corruption is coming towards us from outside, but from inside we are being energized by the Spirit of God. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Isaiah was saying here, this is the job of the watchman. Look, anything that is not in agreement with what God wants to do, prophesy against it. And say, God, this is what you have done said. I like what he said in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. He said, that's the principle of confession. He said, for he has said, therefore we can boldly say, you know, that is very important. I think it's Hebrews chapter, is that 12 or 13? 13. Verse 15 said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? That is, it is based upon what he has said that I have a foundation for saying what I want to say. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is an important aspect of that full armor of God. applying the word of God in prayer. Look, prayer is not, it's not the time of the day you pray that matters, or how hungry you are at the onset of the prayer. No, look. One day I was somewhere. Somebody said, those of us that have fasted, there's no way God won't bless us more than those who have not fasted. I was among those who didn't fast, honestly. Okay. I just shrugged my shoulder. The one he's giving me is good enough. I have not yet found out where hunger improves the response of God to prayer. No, I'm serious. Except you have sinned and you are repenting, and the sorrow of your soul causes you to be anorexic. You know, you can't eat. Look, I'm telling you the whole truth. That is what I believe with all my heart. They said the Bible says that this is the kind of fast I want. I said, read it very well. He said, is this not the fast I have chosen for a man to lose the bands of wickedness? The people say it is a day to do this. God said, the fast I have chosen is not a day. It's an attitude. Are you getting me? That is what God responds to in prayer is simple. What has he said? And what are you saying in agreement with what he has said? You know, one day I went somewhere. One brother, you know, we're sharing like this. I used to go to spend my holiday in the church I used to attend. So when I was a resident, when I'm on leave, I go to the church and stay there for about 3 weeks, 1 month, helping out in the church, preaching, writing studies and all that. So some ministers came, they were going to organize a program. So they went ahead of the big man. So we got talking one day. We're just sharing the word and discussing like they were ministers. So I spoke about marriage, all right? Look, I was very young that time, but I spoke about marriage, okay? And the brothers assumed that I was married. So later on, one of them, he and I were talking, and he said that, no, if I remember that time, he concluded our discussion and said, God will help us. You know, that kind of thing. Two of them were single, too. They were not married. But they didn't know I wasn't married. God, the way I was talking. They thought that I had married and I experienced what it's really like. So when we're talking, the guy now says something like, okay, so how's your wife or something like that? So I said, no, I'm not married. Hey, he looked at me. You're not married? I said, no. And you live in Lagos? He said, Kumo, be careful of Lagos, sister. So. Do you know, I looked at the brother like, you can't be serious in my mind. What has geography got to do with? I told him, I just told him, bro, you know what? Remember what you said when we were talking just now. You said, God will help us. I quoted it for him. He said, yes. I said, I depend totally on God's help. And even if I live in the midst of a million Jezebels, I won't marry one. I just told him like that. I gave it to him straight. He said, amen. It's true, Sha. It's true. Yeah, it is very true. That's why I said it. Because I have found out that what determines whether you get a good wife or a bad one is your attitude towards God. Period. I have found more bitter than death, Solomon says. A woman whose hearts are chains, whose hands are snares. He said, the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be entrapped. So it is not a matter of being wise. I have seen popular minister preaching on marriage. When this minister gave how to choose a mate, I in my mind, my minister, you have made a mistake. Go and check whether the father divorced the mother. What difference does that make? Henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm going to write a mini book. In fact, I think it should be a tract so that everybody can get one free on how to choose a marriage partner. All of you single people. So that... The reason being that what is most important, let me tell you, life is not a decision you just make. It's the path upon which you walk. We discussed that some weeks ago. Blessed is the man who walketh not. It is where the man is walking that decides whether he's blessed or he's not blessed. In the same manner, if you are going to choose a wife or a husband, the first question you ask yourself is, what exactly am I looking for? I won't go into that in details, but first thing you settle, if you are going for God's best, is to make up your mind, I am looking for the person who will agree with me into the will of God. and continue with me in doing the will of God so that we can finish doing the will of God. If you set your mind on that, you have no problem. Are you getting my point? The problem is that, you know, all this marriage counseling, how do I know who to marry or not? God is my witness, they are unnecessary. What we need to tell people is, what do you want out of life? Because once you make up your mind, you will immediately magnetize the correct person. All this confusion of, I really don't know, you know, the guy is nice, yeah, but you won't tell us he's currently broke, yeah. He's broke, that is the problem. I've told you, when an adult tells you 1 + 1 = 3, don't quarrel with him. He has hidden one somewhere, not telling you about. Well, he said, but we put 1 naira here just now. This is another 1 naira. How come it's now 3 naira? I don't know. It's a lie. A lot of the confusion people claim they have, should I be honest with you? There is a reason they have it. They are not telling you that reason. That's why you are confused too. No, I'm telling you, a woman comes to you for counseling. You know, I really don't know. If she will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you will see the help of God instantly. I'm telling you the honest truth. You know, I used to tell you that when sisters say, I'm going to pray, it's a lie. Look, honestly, I personally believe it is not true. The best they can do is to prayerfully consider, you know what I mean? consider some points. Let me tell you the truth. Guys, someone tell you they are going to pray. Don't wait for long. Just forget. Just assume the answer is no. I'm telling you the truth. Arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. Go somewhere else. I know what I'm saying. Okay. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What makes the difference in all this other world, I don't know, is what exactly do you want out of life? I've told you, if you see, fear is a very terrible thing. And fear, you don't tell somebody, do not be afraid, except you have solution for the fear. Do you understand my point? Don't tell a man or a woman, don't worry, if you will not tell him or her why he shouldn't worry. Don't worry is a very stupid advice to give if it is not qualified. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for your heavenly Father knows. There is a reason he gave you for not worrying. If you somebody is in your house at 12 midnight, I say, no, maybe at about 10:30, say, I have to go home, there's no transport again. He said, don't worry. What do you mean, don't worry? Do you have a car you go and use to drop him? Or you have a missile used to shoot him from your house to his own? Otherwise, he should worry. He should worry. He should be anxious. He should start trekking early. That look also before I sleep on the road. Now, how did I get there? Please, what was I saying? Okay, I think somewhere around there. Huh? And let me go back to that. I think I can retrace my steps from that point. So when he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, I was saying that a lot of the things that Christians say are not what it is written about them in heaven. They are saying what they are seeing on the earth, thereby affirming and confirming further what is currently happening. When the Bible says that what will happen tomorrow is not a product of what we are seeing today, and your interpretation of events must show that you believe something that other people don't believe. When it says that what we see were not made out of things that are visible, does not mean only in the past tense. It also means what we see tomorrow will not be as a consequence of what we are seeing today physically. That we know as children of God that the words, the events of our lives will be shaped by the word of God that is coming out of our mouth today, not by the color of our passport. Listen to me. The actions you take on earth are judged by God based on the reason you did them. Go and read Jeremiah chapter 17, around verse 11. I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the heart. I test the mind. then I recompense a man according to the result of his actions. First thing I do is to check why he's doing them. I am saying, listen, if you are looking for a passport or visa or whatever because you think that life will be better somewhere, just forget it. You have just backslidden. Because a believer must believe something. So what do you believe? I hope you are getting my point. But there are many reasons to do things. The white man who brought gospel down here, he left his country. He had a reason. Came here with the gospel. He had a reason. Nigerians who are carrying gospel to other places also have reasons. What I'm just saying is that God is testing the heart of each person. But whatever you are doing on earth must have the launch pad of the faith that you have in the written word of God before you can call yourself a believer. Otherwise, you don't believe anything. You understand my point? You don't believe nothing. So he said, thy will be done on earth. I like one thing somebody said. Larry Lee, if you know Larry Lee, he preached a lot, in fact, on the Lord's Prayer. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? It's the most popular book. I'll link to his tape on that series. He said something, this was years ago. He said that word, he was explaining about the Greek. I didn't study Greek. That's why I'm quoting him, so you know where I got it from, okay? That the word there is emphatic or forceful. It is not passive, like the will of God, thy will be done. No. That it's better expressed like this. Will of God, be done. Do you understand what I'm going to say? As if you are giving your authority to that will of God. That is based on God's word. You begin to declare things. Like the brother I was telling you about, I told him, that was 1995, 96, when he had that discussion. I didn't marry until December 99. But that thing was guiding my head everywhere I went. No matter how much I chased after the wrong woman, I will not succeed. That's all I knew. I knew it from, even if I see vision, you know, I have told you, any vision, somebody claims he sees that this is be my wife or my husband, I will believe it after they say, yes, I do. I say, indeed, you saw well. You get what I'm saying? I mean, Jeremiah, God spoke to Jeremiah. Go down, you will buy this land. I've forgotten the details now. He said, when he got there, and the man actually came to sell him the land, said, then I knew that God indeed spoke to me. So what a man needs, what a woman needs, the guiding principle of his life, that my purpose is to do God's will on the earth. So I declared it in agreement with God's word. I can tell you for sure, that was what I saw. And listen, what I am going to see tomorrow, a lot of you have heard it already. I know what God, I don't know the fine details, but I know that things indeed are getting better. Because the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It's shining brighter and brighter until the perfect day. That is what I keep on saying. As a watchman upon the walls of my house, as a watchman upon the walls of my city, as a watchman upon the walls of my nation, God, what is happening right now is not good. According to your word, when you see injustice, you are displeased. Therefore, I ask, let thy judgments be upon the earth, O God, that the inhabitants thereof might learn righteousness. As long as we don't see it, we'll continue to declare it. Because one day, it will come to pass. It doesn't mean you're talking in unbelief. As long as Elijah sat down there and he was not sitting in unbelief. All this prayer we are praying also is not in unbelief. It is because he said, we will not give God rest until we see it. You know what patience means? Patience means you don't leave until what is promised is manifested physically. That is why faith and patience inherit the promises. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's vital we grab this. That is the reason why we have to keep on discovering God's word so we know what to pray. Now, I was telling you that Jesus said to his disciples, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. My pastor was saying something once that there were some things that the disciples of John the Baptist kept on saying as their prayer. That it was not pleomorphic, you know what I mean? This amorphous kind of prayer. You all say anything you like. You know, I told that that's why I don't enjoy a lot of prayer meetings. The prayers are absolutely pointless, non-specific, Even you praying, you won't know when God answers it. Do you understand what I say? Today, we will see the glory of God. Amen. Pray. Beginning of service. When they start like that, I will be watching to. I tell the man in my mind on stage, when this glory appears, will you be able to identify? That's why we deceive ourselves at the end. Amen. Was this place not glorious today? In my mind, you think it was glorious? I think it was a waste of time. I think that minister talked nonsense. I think the choir were just dancing and feeling good themselves with him. But at the end, they say, it was a glorious day. Why? Because you prayed for a glory you couldn't identify. Like they say, if you are not going anywhere, any road will take you there. So since we're not going anywhere, we didn't have anything in mind that we're praying for. When nothing happened, there was enough to thank God for, because we didn't ask for anything anyway. I listened to this man's tape. I was telling you about last night, Derek Prince, an aggressive prayer. He described, in fact, he was talking about different kinds of prayer, talking about binding and losing, and then what he called specific, persistent, spirit, Holy Spirit inspired prayer. That is prayers that is just, he says sometimes he prays about a situation and says, God, what would you like to do about this? And then the Holy Spirit gives him a prayer. It's just a sentence. And he keeps on repeating that sentence every day until he sees the manifestation of those things. That is, it is not just, in fact, I like the way he explained it in that tape. He said that Paul said, I'm not just beating as one that just punching the air. I have a specific place I'm aiming for, so I know when I land. You get the point. And that is the way, let's start from our personal lives and then go on to our nation. Anything that God has said about you, you are not seeing yet. Listen, I told you, anywhere you turn, every word you hear will be wrong. That is why the words of this, the voice of doubt always appears louder than the voice of faith. Because the voice of faith is specific, pointed. God has only one reason why you should do what he's saying. And you know that reason? Because he said so. And then everybody else, your father starts with his own reason. Your auntie adds another one. Your friends add another one. Your cousin in the US adds another one. Then on TV, the president adds another one. Vice president puts his own. Senate president puts his own. Local government chairman has another one. NLC puts his own. By the time they finish confusing you thoroughly, you won't know where God's word is again. Because somebody tells them, fuel is going to go at 100 naira a liter. You say, God, 100 naira a liter. How will we manage? Let me tell you, your children, you know we are paying bills, and we're not paying bills before. They will have to work part-time to go to school. You're scratching your head. Everybody's describing the needs. You know what they call needs? There's another one, economic development strategy. They say their own. You scratch your head. God has said one thing. He's not going to qualify it. He's not going to explain it. He is not going to negotiate it. They that seek the Lord will never be in lack of anything good. He won't explain how it will come. You know, He won't describe to you that, you know what will happen is that I will do this to you in the country, so just stay there. No. One word. Because he knows, once you recognize that word and you forget everything else, you'll make the right decision. You understand what I'm going to say? So what is your responsibility? Every time another voice comes, hey, you're in trouble in 15 years' time, you just give that same simple pointed word. They that seek the Lord shall never lack anything good. It said, I will make rivers to flow in the wilderness so as to give my people drink. So you are telling me that everywhere shall become a wilderness. He said, God has said he will cause rivers to flow in that wilderness. Let it come. Do you understand my point? That is how to wield the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, wherewith we are quenching every voice that's trying to set our hearts on fire so that we will doubt the word of God. Because once we doubt it, we start sinking. You know, God told the children of Israel, you don't drive them out, they will teach you their ways. And exactly as I propose to do to them, I will do to you also. Are you getting my point? I just needed to say this to us so that we will understand that God's inheritance has been given to us. God's plan has been written in the heavens. And once they were written, they were stamped with the blood of Jesus, and it's final. Nothing can change it. That's what it means when it says that something's in the heavens. And our point as watchmen is every time we see things that are not in agreement with that, we constantly declare, according to what is written, thy will be done on earth as it has been recorded in the heavens. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Let us pray. I want us to just thank God at this time for what he has